Good afternoon, good morning, good night, whatever time it is. Welcome, welcome, welcome to another episode of Positivity Spartans. I'm the pusher of positivity, the maestro of motivation, your boy Isaiah Hubbard, back at it with another one. And I'm very excited about this episode because I got two people with me who I hold in very high regards. You know what I'm saying? Like brothers to me. You know what I'm saying? One met in the military, the other we met, you know what I'm saying? Balling back in the web from the high school, middle school days. You know what I'm saying? But here we are now together about to create something incredible. And that's my boy Marcellus James. And then my boy Eric Anthony Lane over here, man. Oh, yo, I just want to let y'all know I'm really excited to have y'all on the show, man.
Definitely, bro. Appreciate the invite.
Yeah, no doubt, man. No doubt. You know what I'm saying? I was when y'all reached out to me, man, I was ecstatic. You know what I'm saying? I was like, word. I was like, we can definitely, you know what I mean, chop it up. We can definitely make something special. You know what I'm saying? Because the Positivity Spartans, man, they it's a community, man. It's just a community of individuals who motivate, who want to succeed. You know what I'm saying? Who want to motivate others, who want to see others succeed. You know what I'm saying? It's just a network of people. You know what I mean? Who want to do the right things to get to where we need to be. You feel me?
Yes, definitely, definitely, bro.
Now, go ahead and let's introduce yourselves, man. Let the listeners know a little bit about yourselves, man. Marcellus, go ahead, take it away.
All right, so like you said, I'm Marcellus James. Me and Isaiah have been homies since I was like 11, maybe.
Yeah, we was youngest.
So we go way back, but we always had like minds. So it's awesome to be able to experience this. Right now, I live in Arizona. I've been in the military for a little while. And I've been to a lot of countries, a lot of places, had a lot of different experiences. So it's cool to see America from different perspectives and see the world from all over the place because I like to travel too. So I got something to bring, and I'm excited about dealing with this.
For sure, for sure. And now, you definitely one who embraces the positive and the motivational lifestyle and spirit, man. You happen to be one of the luckiest MFers
I've been hearing that a lot this year.
man. But that's for sure, man. Yeah, we glad to have you on the show, man. Eric, go ahead. Let's tell them a little bit about yourselves, man.
Right, what's going on, everybody? My name is Eric Lane. I think I met Isaiah, my boy Hub. It was about 2014, 2015. We were at
Yeah,
Fort Hood.
somewhere around there after my first deployment.
Yeah. It's funny and unique how our friendship started. It initially started from trash talking, you know, then it just developed from hooping, you know, drinking beers, playing spades, playing video games, so forth and so on. But you know, despite our different interests in sports teams, we always bonded and connected, and always had nice intellectual conversations amongst other people. So, you know, Hub always been my guy in regards to that. We always had a like mindset, and you know, just someone I look up to on so someone I look up to on many levels, and someone I hold with high regard.
Oh man, hey, yo, don't gas my head up over here, man. Go ahead, you
Yeah,
know what I'm saying? I appreciate that, brother. Hey, maybe Redskins, they might make the playoffs, man. I'll give you that. They might
bro,
make the
you know I'm a
playoffs.
Texans fan, man. Don't
Oh
disrespect
yeah,
me,
that's
man.
right, Texas. Yeah, that's right. You
Wow.
from that area, but you a Texas fan. My fault.
There
My
we go.
fault.
Come on,
Slap on
baby.
the wrist. Slap on the
Woo.
wrist. Oh man, but yeah, definitely, man. Like, yeah, it's been pretty cool, man. We definitely didn't start out talking trash, man, but. You know what I mean? That's how a lot of bonds are made. You know, that's actually how me and Pokes first met, for real, for real. Is the you know I mean, you remember the flag football game that they had between the companies? Yeah, for, yeah, he was defending me. I was just talking trash, just to talk trash. I didn't even know my man's now we cool, yeah, we tight. You know what I'm saying? That's my boy. But
Yo, Cello, Hub and the crew is about to beat on my commander one day, man.
look, hey. Nah, man, he came at me kind of reckless, man. All right, look, side story. So we was in a softball game. My boy, well, I mean, I was pitching. It was one of those pitch the own team type things. My boy had hit a double. Umpire called him safe. The commander, you know what I'm saying, he's supposed to hold himself in high regards, started flipping out, tripping. I was like, yo, chill, sir. He came at me, and yo, just don't get in my face, man. That's it. You know what I mean? I'm a cool dude, just don't get in my face. And then from there, it escalated a little bit. Nobody put hands on each other, but hey, it happened.
Man, they held a vendetta against my company for like 6 months, bro.
Hey, that's funny, man. That's funny as hell. On that note, I do want to bring this up just for, I mean, just for legal reasons, whatever. I'm saying just because they're in the military, they do not represent the United States Army. Yes. Their views are different from the United States Army as a whole. They are, I mean, just because they put on the uniform does not mean they're here representing the Army. I just want to go ahead and put that out there to cover y'all, because I know how they can be sometimes.
Appreciate the disclaimer, bro.
For sure, for sure. Now, without further ado, we got a very very hot topic in today's episode, man. A very hot topic, and Marcel was actually the one who brought it to me. I had told Lane about it, and then like I was like, "Yeah, let's do it." Lane was like, "Yo, can I get in on it?" And this is where we are, and that is racial repercussions. Racial repercussions. Now, before we do get into that, as a fool, I know Lane, there's some other things you wanted to bring up.
Yeah, definitely. I think for starters, man, we should just do a little small welfare check. Check in on everybody. See how everybody's doing mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, you know, holistically as a whole. I think respectively, since it's your show, brother, you can go first.
Yeah, I like that, man. I really like that a lot, man. I'm going to be real, man. Today was a great day. Today was a beautiful day, bro. I woke up, you know what I'm saying, got some good night's sleep. I mean, hit the road, was Ubering. I mean, made some money because, you know, that's my little side hustle now. So I did what I had to do. And after that, man, went down by the river and was fishing, chilling with the fam, man. Called me a little fish today. You know what I'm saying? First time in like 3 years. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't no bass or nothing, but, you know what I'm saying? A little perch, you know what I'm saying? I'm proud of it. But, you know what I'm saying? It was real cool, man. And I definitely appreciate you for checking in on me, brother.
Oh, yeah. You know, I always hit you up, man. Welfare check. What's going on?
Sure. You do. Yeah, you do out of nowhere. You and some, a few others, you know what I'm saying? Those hit me up like, yo, bro, how you doing? And I appreciate y'all for that.
Yes, sir. It's up to you, Cello. Your turn, brother.
You definitely got to check in on people, for sure. Because you never know what people are going through.
Right.
They say it costs nothing to give a little kindness to someone, even if they're not being kind back. But I've been pretty good, man. Like, I've been thriving during COVID, honestly. And, like, I won a truck. I was in the news. This is why
I started. A whole truck.
The luckiest man in the world. Like, I won the truck because of COVID. Like, it's just.
Wow.
But besides that, like, I've been just getting my health back together, getting back in shape. Just mentally, like, staying in a good place because a lot of people aren't. And if you bring that positive energy around people, like, people feed off that all the time. And it could be the smallest thing. You just come in the room and smile, and it turns someone's day around. So, like, I'm good. I'm just happy that I have what I have, and this isn't affecting me as bad as it can.
Right, sure. Right. Definitely a blessing, man.
How you doing, man?
Right. What's up, Lane? Hold on. Where are you at right now?
So I'm in Italy, man.
Italy, that's right.
Yeah, in Vicenza, Italy.
Okay. How you doing, my brother?
I'm doing all right, man. Taking it one day at a time. Considering the COVID and the other unfortunate events that are taking place in the States. Mm-hmm. My wife's doing good. Sunday makes 7 months pregnant, okay. So the baby's supposed to be here between August 17th or August 23rd, so she's healthy, the baby's healthy. Really can't really complain too much in that aspect. And I'm starting grad school later on this month as well. Well, June. So,
congrats.
Yeah, appreciate it, brothers. Appreciate it. So, you know, just trying to take it easy one day at a time, as you guys alluded to with your statements. I'm definitely grateful to still be employed during the COVID, because I know some people definitely have it rough, and
right.
The COVID could definitely have an adverse effect on a lot of our lives. So I'm just grateful that it hasn't impacted me negatively.
For sure. And that's real, man. Because, you know what I'm saying? It definitely affected a lot of people in a very bad way, man. Because, I mean, even around here, there's businesses that they might not open the doors back up again. You know what I'm saying? And that's really unfortunate. But, man, I can't. I can't tell you how much I appreciate you doing that right there, bro. Just even, you know what I mean, welfare check, you know what I'm saying? Even just being, you know what I'm saying? Because, you know, we as men, you know, a lot of times we're not often afforded the ability to be open with how we're actually feeling, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So, you know what I mean, to be able to actually be able to express, you know what I'm saying, how we feeling truthfully and letting people know how we really feeling, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's really a blessing, man, and that's a great thing, man. So, to the listeners out there, man, just make sure you're checking on your people. That's it, man. Just check on your people. Mm-hmm. Check on your people.
And be honest with yourself about how you feeling as well.
Yeah.
You know, you may not necessarily want to vent or open up to someone, but, you know, whether it's running, lifting some weights, doing something, definitely find a way to get that burden off your back, or, you know, whatever you want to get off your chest, find a way to get it out.
Right.
So, yeah, I agree with you on that, bro.
Right.
So what have you guys been doing, man, to cope during the COVID? Because, you know, I know our options are kind of limited right now. What have you guys been doing?
Well, man, y'all know me. I'm an introvert, dog. So I chill in the crib all day, every day. But honestly, man, it's like I've been trying to learn something new and perfecting what I already know. You know what I'm saying? I've just been trying to build a more well-rounded me. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know what I mean? I was actually, due to the COVID, I was actually able to sit back and kind of, you know, evaluate who I am. You know what I mean? Where I wanted to go and how far I've came. And while I'm very proud of how far I came, I'm well aware of how far I can go and how far I want to go. So I've been doing a lot of self-evaluation, man. I've been, just trying to build myself. Like I said, I started Uber driving, you know what I'm saying? Side hustle. Trading Forex, you know what I'm saying? I'm learning the Forex market, which is...
You Ubering in a Charger, bro?
Bro, yeah, Ubering the Charger all day, bro. People love that shit.
Okay.
Love it, bro. Yeah, they love it, man. Yo, I pull up and they're like, man, it's a nice car. And I'm like, yeah, I appreciate you, man. I appreciate you. It'll take you anywhere you need to go. But that's really been me, man. And, you know, I'm a gamer, dog. So I've been gaming as well, trying to build a little gaming community. I mean, because if y'all ain't know, man, it's actually a pretty big community. It's gaming, esports and stuff, man. It's next level.
And they're winning millions of dollars too. It's nuts.
Yeah, crazy, man. Yeah. Crazy. Sponsorships, all types of stuff, man. But what y'all been up to?
Man, I started yoga.
Yoga.
Okay.
I ain't even mad at you, bro.
Huh?
I ain't even mad at you for that.
Yeah, so I had a back injury back in like, I want to say November. And it's just been like driving me nuts. So I was like, let me try something new and figure out ways to prevent injury. So I started doing yoga. And I've been trying to do it consistently, like every day. And now it's crazy because people are like contacting me like, hey, man, what app are you using? I'm trying to get into yoga too. Like, I'm trying to get more flexible and da da da. So it's like doing little stuff like that and posting it. And people, you can see the impact that it has on others. But I started doing that. I've been focusing more on doing stuff for my career. I'm trying to become a Sergeant Audie Murphy member. So I've been doing
nice.
Okay.
All types of study sessions for that. Learning a lot. It makes you a lot better. Even if you don't make it, whatever, it makes you a lot better in your craft, being able to take care of people and knowing the rules and regulations. So I've been doing a lot of that stuff.
For sure, man.
That's smooth, man. Smooth.
Yeah, it's dope as hell, man. Hey, it's all about.
Yeah, I wish you the best with that Audie Murphy boy. Man,
because that's tough. That's tough.
It is. It really is, man.
Mm-hmm.
That is tough.
That's dope.
What you been up to, my man?
I'll be real, man. COVID kind of been rough for me, bro.
Yeah.
Because you know, I'm an outgoing person. Like, not saying I necessarily thrive off attention or, but I like human interaction to a degree. Like,
right.
Yeah, I'm an extrovert. I enjoy human interaction. I don't like just being coped up in the room. You know, again, not saying I crave attention, but it's like I like that human interaction, even if it's just, you know, walking down the street, saying hello to someone, like stuff like that. That's just how I am. So it's kind of been a little rough for me, man. And then I'm not much of a gamer, so I don't have a game console out here. I'm not really getting to movies that much. And the gyms are closed and there are no sports. So it's like, geez, all the things I do to cope, they're kind of just, you know, they're not a viable option at this moment. So I guess in order to cope, I just been talking to my wife, just been sleeping for real, man. Honestly, I've been dibbling and dabbling with a little bit of reading, but I think I went back and I listened to a lot of music albums that I kind of neglected over the past few years, and I was able to dissect everything and give a unbiased opinion. So, you know, just been engaged in some music talks as well. So that's definitely been a good thing.
Man, you gotta fight, you know what I mean? You gotta hunt the good stuff, man. It's definitely dope, man, that you can confide in your wife too, man. Having a dope chick by your side is, you know what I'm saying? It's a blessing. It is a blessing.
Man, she's amazing, bro.
Yeah.
Words can't even express how good she is.
My man. Take care of it, dog. You know what I'm saying? If not, we have to get in the air, man.
Yes, sir. Hey, since I mentioned sports, how do you guys feel about the NBA potentially opening back up in July? I think I read something last week in an article where they're talking about potentially doing a 16-team playoff bracket and just allowing teams to battle it out. So my perspective of it, I don't think they should do it because we all know that Corona is definitely something that doesn't have a cure yet. I mean, as much as I miss sports, I still believe that they're still compromising and exposing a lot of players and a lot of coaches, which will ultimately be compromising their individual families. So I don't think entertainment is that important to the point where you should be compromising everyone. I do understand that a lot of players are missing out on money because they're not being able to get paid. And, you know, the season was kind of canceled. I think I was talking to you about this as well, Hub. There's like only 5 players that are currently signed with sports marketing team. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like 5 players in the NBA that received their entire contract throughout the year. So I understand all the angles and all the pillars and all the aspects, but I don't think you should compromise anybody's health or anybody's safety for the sake of a dollar. That's just my personal opinion on it.
Yeah, I feel the same way, but I understand we're in America, and America is driven by money, so they're taking all those risks just because they're trying to put money in people's pockets. People's pockets are running dry. Like, people don't have what we have, you know, a contracted job, and you know your money's still gonna come for this time period. Certain people just, even like the vendors and the. All the people that you got to think of, all the people that work in the ins and outs of like NBA facilities, they employ hundreds, maybe even thousands of people. So I think they, for the entertainment part, I don't think that's relevant, but the fact of the financial effect on people, I think they do have to do something. They have to do like maybe control games where just the players are in there and you find some way to have the fans involved, but life has to continue. We already stopped the world for 3 months. America's been stood still for about 3 months, and they really don't have a cure. Like, they don't know what to do, but at some point life has to move on.
I agree. In the same sense, it's kind of like, so y'all remember when the NBA found out like Magic Johnson had AIDS?
Yeah.
They made him retire. You know what I'm saying? Like they made my man's retire. Like, they didn't care. They were like, yo, that's it. You know, it's done. Now it's like, we sit here and they talk about resuming. I don't know if it's necessarily for financial, because I know there's a couple business or team owners that were still paying the staff.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know if y'all had read that.
I think Mark Cuban was
the
pillar for that.
Yeah, yeah. Mark Cuban is a dope NBA owner, bro.
Definitely, bro.
Like, he's one of the dopest NBA owners.
So think about the other ones that aren't.
Yeah, true. There's a flip side to that coin. You're very right. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So it's tough, man, because it's like basketball, that's my sport. You know what I mean? That's what I watch all day. Like, y'all know I'm not very big on football. And hockey or any of that, but basketball, man, that's all I watch all day.
I don't know why you watch it, man, just to see the Sixers lose in the second round again.
Hey. Look, man, if Kawhi didn't have the magic of Drake on his side, we would have won the NBA championship.
Boy, man, Kawhi had the Black Panther shirt last year in the playoffs.
Man, that was a great playoff run. That, you know, I was actually talking to my boy the other day about that Toronto team. That Toronto team is very underrated.
Definitely, bro.
That is a very underrated Toronto team. They
had a lot of cameras.
Yeah. As far as COVID, though, I would like to see it come back, but only if, you know what I'm saying, only if it's safe. Because safety first, man. I mean, we, like you said, we can't just stop the world. Essential things need to go on, and you know what I mean? Our entertainment isn't essential at the moment.
Exactly.
You feel me?
I hope the NBA, I believe the NBA will be smart enough to place a lot of precautions and ways to mitigate the virus from fully spreading. So, like, we have an outdoor gym here in Italy that just opened up 2 weeks ago. But max capacity at the gym is like 20 personnel on the outside gym, and then every 50 minutes they close the gym and they wipe everything down with like straight bleach. When you're in the gym, you have to have on gloves, and when you first enter the gym, when you sign in, you have to have on a mask. So, from my understanding, the virus hasn't been spreading due to the gym being open. Again, that's just from my understanding, but I hope the NBA is smart enough to place some precautions and some parameters around if they were to open back up.
Yeah. NBA has always been very proactive. You know what I'm saying? They're one of the most proactive leagues. You know what I'm saying? So I believe Adam Silver, he'll do what's right. He'll keep the players safe, and I think he'll bring back the league, you know what I'm saying, only if he knows, you know what I'm saying, it's safe.
Definitely.
Man, speaking of like just COVID and things opening up, man, since I've been Uber driving out here, there's actually been a lot of places. They're doing 25% capacity, but places with outside patios, it's like no holds barred. So in that aspect, it's like I question if we'll even see more, you know, rises in COVID cases, man. Because a lot of people I talk to, because I'm not really a club like bar person, so that's why Uber is like perfect for me, because I can just drive drunk people around because I have no desire to get drunk. but I mean, like I talk to them and they're checking temperatures at the doors and shit. So I mean,
there's
precautions put in place, but at the same time, it's like outside. I think they're starting to realize it may be a little harder to contract, and you know, statistically, I guess the age group that has seen the most fatalities aren't necessarily the clientele in the clubs. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I was a bit upset, man, when it first began. I didn't think people within our age bracket, our generation, they were taking it very seriously. Because, you know, when it initially came out, they were like, well, this is the old people disease. Old people are the primary ones that can contract it. But then there was a huge spike in young people catching it. Because I know for a fact, like in D.C., Baltimore, you know, like suburban urban areas, people were still going out and doing their own thing. And then that's when state governors and mayors, they started to tighten up the leash in regards to curfews and, you know, consequences and repercussions of people being seen outside. So
right.
I was a tad bit upset, man, because I'm like, you know, do your research, people. Like, you know, it may suck being inside the house as much as I want to go outside, but yeah, man, I'm glad things are slowly but surely getting back to normal.
Right. But as far as things getting back to normal, it's unfortunate that we're not even entirely back too normal, and already we've seen how many police murders just within last few months? How many? It's crazy. You know, it's crazy we even have to ask that question. And it, you know what I mean? This is a great lead up into you know what I mean, our topic. It's crazy that we even have to ask that. Like, all right, which murder are you talking about?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it, Trayvon Martin, Keith Scott, Stephen Clark, Tamir Rice, Philando Castile, Ayanna Jones, Alton Sterling, Freddie Gray, Michael Brown, Sandra Bland, Ahmaud Arbery, George Floyd. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And these are the ones that made it to national media.
You know what I'm saying?
There's plenty that haven't.
Way, yeah. And that's, man, and that's what's really crazy, because – if it wasn't for technology and just having other sources of news besides big news networks, George Floyd and all of them might have probably would have went under the radar too.
Highly possible.
Yeah, sadly, man.
Man, I just want to hear y'all perspectives, man, because I know it's been a very hot topic lately, man. And honestly, I mean, it needs to be talked about because I don't even, I just don't know what else, like, what else is there to do anymore. I mean, the rioting and the looting, and it's happening because the talking wasn't being heard. They told us to protest peacefully. Y'all was burning Cap jerseys, man.
Yep.
Y'all was burning Nikes in your backyard, man. Like, come on now.
So yeah, the crazy thing is like, we're gonna reverse back a little bit. Like with Colin Kaepernick, he went in, he tried to bring awareness to it, and his whole message was entirely lost.
Right.
His message was pretty much, "Hey, I'm just trying to make a stand about police brutality to unfair." It essentially started from police brutality. And the funny thing is, people don't notice, but you can look back and go to the interview. He actually talked to a veteran about how to go about it, because initially he was just going to sit down. He was just going to sit on a bench and through the national anthem. And the veteran was like, "Hey, I think it would be more respectful if you go and take a knee." And a lot of people don't actually know that. But
that's crazy.
This whole, like, people are just fed up. They're beyond fed up. Like, it's so many stages of grief. And right now, America's in that frustration stage where, hey, we've tried the peaceful stuff. We tried to just be calm, and we try to do what you asked us to do. And now people are just going bonkers. And I'm not saying that that's okay. I'm not saying it's okay for people to riot and things like that. But that's, they don't know what to do. Like, they're trying to express their frustration. And a lot of those riots are initially starting as peaceful protests. And, you know, you get one group of people, one person does something out of line, everyone thinks it's okay.
Now, in that aspect, how do y'all feel about the rioting and like, the looting? Because I'm seeing a lot of people saying that, like, it's not us, you know what I mean? It's not us that's out there starting that, and it just escalates because, like you said, one person is out there, they do something stupid, and people think that's the vibe and the energy of the protest, when a lot of times the intentions were peaceful.
And then the media is going to control how you view it anyway.
Right,
so.
Right. I learned the hard way. The media is just going to tell whatever story just to get people to listen.
Especially depending on your political party, so it's hard to get like an unbiased news report.
Definitely,
you'll see, like, even for my own president, you get you get him, and if it's a riot with a certain group of people, well, they're good people. They're just
misunderstood.
Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, they're just misunderstood, and you get another group of people, and all of a sudden they're thugs,
right?
And
animals.
Yeah, so that. That goes to show you, like, how deeply embedded this stuff is. Like, he's how old? What, 70-ish in that time frame?
Yeah.
That stuff is embedded in him. And I don't even blame those people for some part of it, because that's what they grew up around and they think it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
So I was, like, right now, you see a lot of people there. When someone says something like against their view, they, oh, I'm unfriending them. I don't want to talk to them. And I don't feel like that's the right way.
Right.
Like, If you said your piece and they said their piece and you guys don't come to agreement, then y'all can just have a disagreement. That's cool. Like, I've had people, I'll make a post and I just want to see people, where people's thought process are, and I'll have someone say something kind of out of line, and people will police them up. Like, we'll talk to them like, "Hey, man, do you even know about these facts? Do you know this? Do you know that?"
Mm-hmm.
Some people, like, they'll get a little frustrated and then they won't take the message, but every once in a while you'll have someone actually receptive to this stuff. Like, when I posted initially about him dying, one of the people that used to always argue with me about stuff was like, "Oh yeah, these cops need to go to jail." Like, we didn't even start into no type of debate or anything. He straight up was like, "These cops need to go to jail." And I would like to think I had some type of part in him changing his mindset towards things like this and being more aware of it. But that's just my piece. I'm talking too much.
No, no, man, no. You gotta realize
you spitting facts, bro.
Right, but you gotta realize that is, you know what I'm saying? It's a gift to be able to do that, man. And we as humans, we're powerful. We're capable of that. You know what I'm saying? We're capable of transferring information to one another in order to, you know what I'm saying, not necessarily influence, but to enlighten. Because I don't know if y'all follow Kwame Ture or not, but he had a quote. It says, the duty of the conscience is not to make the unconscious conscience, is to make the unconscious conscience of their unconscious ways, if that makes sense. I mean, he said it a little better than me, but that was the gist.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you just got to make them aware of their unconscious ways, and eventually, I mean, it'll come to that point, you know what I'm saying? Because I've noticed that, too. There's a lot of people who I see quiet on a lot of things who are actually very vocal right now. That actually, it's kind of surprising. It was kind of surprising in my eyes at first. But it just makes you realize how disgusting, you know what I mean, these murders are.
Yeah, that's what they're horrendous, are, man. I think the late Dr. Martin Luther King said it best. Riots are the voice of the unheard. But as Marcellus alluded to in his statement, I think there's just a lack of empathy, understanding, and compassion from all parties involved. For starters, there's no right or wrong way to protest to get your point across, because as Isaiah...
Say that again.
There's no right or wrong way to protest. However you feel you need to protest to get your point across, I respect that. You know, you're doing what you got to do to get to convey your message. You feel that doing it peacefully is the best way, then by all means. You feel that tearing up the city is the best way, then by all means. But people don't understand that there has been a buildup. Like, people didn't just randomly wake up out their beds and say, "Hey, I'm going to tear up the city. I'm going to throw rocks at the cops. I'm going to do X, Y, and Z." This is a trickle down effect from something that our culture and our race has been dealing with for centuries, decades, you know, you name it, man. We've been dealing with this nonsense for years, man. It's and as I see constantly on Twitter and Facebook, you know, I think our people are literally just sick and tired of being sick and tired, because it's like, here we go again. You know, 4 years ago in Baltimore in 2016, you had a Freddie Gray incident. And here we go again. Almost 5 years ago. Here we go again in 2020, dealing with the exact same thing, man. It's just like something has to change. Something has to give. My biggest thing is that I don't want the protests, the rioting to go in vain if people don't, for starters, fill out their census bureau, and secondly, if people don't vote. That's my biggest thing. That's my biggest thing.
Say that again.
Yeah, people need to definitely fill out the Census Bureau reports and, most importantly, vote. You may not agree with Joe Biden. You may not agree with Donald Trump, but at least vote locally, man. You know, get your voices heard. Get those people in office that you feel have the best interest for you and your community at the local levels, because, you know, it's a trickle-down effect. It's a domino effect. You start locally voting, then hopefully those people you vote locally will represent and lobby and vouch for you at the state level and so forth and so on. So, you know, I don't want all this to go in vain, man. Like, there has to be some plan of action for us to move forward. Like, we can't just protest. We can't just riot. We can't aimlessly without, like, what's the end goal? Like, you know, they see us at a national level. So it's like, you know, what is the next step? How are we going to bridge that gap between all parties involved? So, That's my take on it.
I think another thing is not only getting involved in the census, the voting, but actually being a part of the politics that are affecting your life. Mm-hmm. Like, it's amazing how many people have zero awareness of politics. They don't pay any attention to anything, and then they want stuff to happen. But you got to think of who are the ones that are actually voting, and then who are the people that are put in those seats. Like, those people that are put in those seats, they don't have that same view as you. They haven't come from where you came from. So they're going to affect their people. They're going to do what they think is right for their group of people. You know what I mean? Yep. Where you got to have that representation. We just had the big Senate change. Like, we had, I think the It was over 24, I want to say, senators that switched in that were of color or of like some ethnic background. Mm-hmm. And like just doing things like that can have a major impact trickling down. And I watched a documentary. They took years to build those people. Like these grassroots campaigns, they go and pick individuals in the community that they feel are strong, and they can be anybody. Like you can come from working in a bar or something like that, and people are just like, this person is of good moral character. We want to make them now a candidate and build them into what we need them to be for our community, which is really, really dope. And that just needs to happen more often for actual change to happen. Like, okay, we got those cops. Well, the individual who had his knee on George Floyd's neck, we got him arrested, but they're still protesting probably to get the other three arrested. But that's only short. That's short-term effects. Mm-hmm. Like, we want the long-term. But we have to work for the long-term.
I think long-term, well, for starters, we got to hold the police officer accountable. Like, any police officer, whether it's local, state, federal, if you're a crooked cop or you're doing something out of line that goes against the company's morals, or you know it's just inhumane, like, they all need to be held accountable. Just because you wear a badge, that doesn't mean that you're above the law.
Right. Right. Like,
exactly.
You're a sworn in citizen that's supposed to enforce the law. Just because you break the law does not mean you should get a shortcut. Does not mean you should get a slap on the wrist. So I think that's what needs to be done for starters. I think secondly, we need to improve police and community relations. Like, there should be something to bridge the gap between the police and the constituents, because again, this is just a battle that our people have endured for centuries. And so you guys know, growing up, hey, your parents tell you, your grandma tell you, hey, don't go bothering the police. You may not make it back home. Like, right. You know, growing up,
that's horrible that we have
to. Right.
Exactly. You know, growing up, when your grandparents said that, we're young, we didn't, you know, we laughed it off. We didn't understand the severity of it, but they were extremely serious. Like, you know, they were in fear that we would not make it back home. So mm-hmm. there has mm-hmm. to be something done to change that perception and how police are valued, how police are viewed, and secondly, how the police view their constituents. Like, you know, you guys are supposed to be protecting us. Like, yeah, we understand you may have some people to get out of line. You got to do what you got to do, because, you know, ultimately they have to protect themselves as well. But why is it that you guys go to the most extreme force when it comes to Black people, but when other races, you know, are doing the exact same thing or not worse, or you guys find other ways to mitigate it without going to lethal force? Like, that's the biggest issue right there.
Right. Yo, I've been trying to get that to people's head like all week, man. Like, yo, just last week they were protesting and they were spitting in police's faces and they were armed. And this is not how things were handled. You know what I'm saying? Like, that is not how things were handled.
Hey, Isaiah, you wanna make this a 2-part episode?
No, we good. Yeah, let's keep it running. We good. Yeah, we'll keep it running. Okay. But with that being said, you know what I mean? Like, something needs to be done, man. Something just needs to be done. I lost my train of thought.
Yeah. I think something else that needs to be done, gentlemen, is that we need to see our face more involved in police, involved in attorneys. We need to see our face being judges, politicians, so forth and so on. Because it's nothing like looking up, you know, to your state legislator and seeing a person that looks just like you. Hopefully right. that person can relate to you, not, you right. know. You know, we got some Black people that don't be Black, but, you know, hopefully that person can relate to what you're going through, and they remember the humble beginnings and look out for those that are in similar situations such as them. I mean, you know, there's nothing wrong with people growing up wanting to be professional athletes, wanting to be rappers, so forth and so on, get it how you live. But
right.
There are other occupations that need to be represented, that people need to represent.
You know, and like, I want to ask you something, Eric, before you get on to your point. Because, you know, we went to different schools, you know what I'm saying? So I want to, how many Black teachers did you have growing up?
I had a lot of Black teachers growing up.
Yeah?
Yeah. Where I grew up at in Prince George's County, that's the largest Black county in America. So,
wow.
Yeah, I consider PG County like the mecca of Black excellence, if you're being honest. So,
Okay.
I had a lot of black teachers growing up.
That's amazing, bro. That's amazing. Where I'm from,
yeah.
We had one black teacher. I never had him, and I'm pretty sure he was the only black teacher in the entire district.
Wow.
He might have been. He might have very well been.
Yeah.
And then I originally grew up in New York. Like, I grew up in Brooklyn.
My wife from Brooklyn. Yeah.
I grew up on, like, the Bushwick area. So I got to go through elementary and some of sixth grade. And I didn't see – I don't remember. I saw maybe 2 to 3 black teachers in 6 years of going to school. Mm. If you count kindergarten, 7, like maybe 2 to 3. So we definitely need that representation. I think that kind of takes away from the fear factor that people have of us, because certain people they don't even get to like have contact with us. So all they see is the stuff on the news. This guy's a thug. Right. This guy's doing this. And then when you actually around that person, then you're like, man, this is false,
right?
You know,
yeah.
Not everybody.
It allows you to form your own opinion.
It allows them to form their own opinion. That is absolutely right.
Straight up, yeah. And it's a beautiful thing now though, because I see like a lot of people even I went to school with, like mostly females, black females. They're teachers now. You know what I'm saying? They're becoming teachers. There's a lot of minority teachers that I went to school with. You know what I'm saying? And I think that's a beautiful thing, because like you said, representation is important, man. People wondered why, you know what I mean, Black Panther was so was so crazy, man. Representation, you know what I mean? It's amazing to look up and see yourself on the screen. Have any of y'all seen Craig of the Creek? It's a show on Cartoon Network. Yeah, side note, check that out. Pretty dope, you know what I'm saying? It's for us, for sure. So now with everything that I mean going on, we kind of touched on it all. What, like, in your eyes, what do you feel needs to be the outcome when things like this happen? What do you feel like the repercussions? Because I feel like the reason why so many of these hate crimes happen is because there's the punishment just isn't as severe as it needs to be. You know what I'm saying? Like, they get a slap on the wrist for doing whatever. I mean, in another note, just to talk about how messed up the system is, Dylan Roof. You know what I'm saying? Like, the punishment doesn't fit the crime a lot of times, and that's why things continue to happen. So just let me know, what do y'all feel like needs to be the repercussions for what happens for these hate crimes and whatnot, these murders?
What?
Oh, you can go ahead.
You want to go?
Yeah, you can go ahead, fellow. Right. I got you, bro. Well, go ahead.
All right. So, like, the way the thing, when people do things, they have to all be held to the same standard, mm-hmm. right? No matter your position, no matter how much money you make, none of that. Because when black people commit a crime, guess what? You go to jail. Like, if you're a cook and you spending somebody's food, guess what? You're gonna feel something going on. Like, there was the woman Amy Cooper. She was walking in the park with her dog without a leash, and it was a black male that was like, "Hey, miss, you need to put your dog on a leash. Like, you're in a park with a bunch of people. That's dangerous." And she decided to call the cops. And as she's sitting there screaming and hollering, there's a black man. I forgot the word she was using. Harassing me. He's harassing me. And she starts screaming and getting all frantic. And the guy's standing like 30 feet away from her, recording her doing all of this. So, perfect example of having repercussions for things like this. This is obviously a racial thing, right? She kept saying African-American man. Her job was like, hey, we investigated this. She's now fired.
Oh, yeah, I love
it. Straight off jump, you know. This is terrible representation of our company. We don't support racism, and we never will, and things like that. And then it went even as far as, I think the dog that she got was adopted from an animal shelter, and the animal shelter took the dog back.
Yeah. Right. Right, got a dog.
You don't deserve nothing. No dog, no job.
Yeah, you can't got no job.
I hope that dog finds a family that's got a big old backyard for it to run around in, man. Right, you feel me? Right?
And then there was another incident. There was a wrestling coach, and this was actually in the Washington area, Washington State. And I actually know people that lived in that area, and some people actually had some type of connection, like, oh, he works in my school district or whatever. But the dude decided to take a picture with someone kneeing on his neck, and he had his thumb up. And he thought that was, like, a good joke. His name is David Hallenbach.
Disgusting.
Wow.
Right? So he did that, and the school did the same thing. They went and investigated. Oh, no. Nah. You got to go, fam.
Booty.
I love it, bro.
So, like, even though these are little things, these things build up, right? And this needs to go when there's higher severity, there should be higher, more severe punishment.
Definitely.
But this is, like, showing some type of progression to me, you know, for things like this. Like, social media, we have our freedom of speech and this and that. But at the same time, you have to have some limitation on what you're expressing to people. And I think this is a perfect example of us having, hey, you did this. This is wrong. Here's what happened.
Right. Social media is powerful nowadays.
Extremely.
Mm-hmm. Talk to me, Lane.
All right. So, it's a little highlighted on everyone being held accountable. But in addition to that, I think there needs to be a revamp of police academies, man, in their hiring process. Because we all know, we're all in the military. Everyone knows in the military, if you're downrange, you shoot somebody, there's going to be a 15-6. 15-6 by default.
Right.
everyone in your platoon, everyone in your squad, they're going to be interviewed. You know, if you leave the FOB, they're doing a ammo check.
Mm-hmm.
See how many rounds you have. If you expended any type of rounds, there's going to be a 15-6 to investigate it. Literally, everyone's going to be investigated. So you're not just out there firing off rounds for the hell of it. So in a sense, I think there should be a revamp of the police academies, and there should also be a revamp of their hiring process. From what I've seen, I don't know too many people that grew up saying, hey, I want to be a cop. A lot of cops that I met, being a cop was somewhat of their last resort because the money was kind of good. You know, like, there's some people that are passionate about it, man. Right. Like, you know, like, cool. Kudos to them. No disrespect to them. Not to downplay and negate their career, but it's like some of your buddies, man. You know, man, the cop was somewhat of their last resort for them. They need to definitely do more in depth when it comes to psychological evals, man. Like a lot of cops are definitely stressed out. Like, the job can be extremely stressful, and they're taking their anger and frustrations out on someone that they're apprehending.
Right.
I think police academies should offer, police academies, police departments, they all should offer some way for people to cope and, you know, have and invent.
Stress management?
Yeah, stress management, exactly. There you go, brother. Yep. Some form of stress management, man. You know, have some psychologists, some psychiatrists that the county or the state will be willing to pay for. Like, you know, we got
better than the unit.
Right.
Exactly. But most importantly, it's a culture thing, man. Like, you got to change the entire culture of how police departments are viewed. And change is going to come slow. It may not happen within our lifetime, but we should definitely look to see some positive strides, man. And I don't know, man. I think, yeah, definitely, man.
I think we actually have seen some strides in some areas, like you said, like Marcellus had alluded to as well, about people being fired from their jobs. You know what I'm saying? Like, that wasn't happening so long ago. You know what I'm saying? So slowly we are progressing, but, you know what I'm saying, the message needs to be heard now, right now. And I couldn't have said it any better, gentlemen. I mean, y'all hit it right on the nose. Like, something needs to be happening. And I like how you took the proactive approach, Lane, and started with the police academy. Like, and that's where it needs to happen. It needs to happen in those academies. When those cadets come in, I mean, they need to be trained the proper way. And I still don't understand how we have rules of engagement for citizens in countries that we're invading, but it's free range on American citizens.
You know what I'm saying? Bro, you want to know something, bro?
What's up?
I have about five friends that went to college with me, bro. They're all cops.
Yeah.
I asked them, I said, that's something I learned in the academy, putting your neck on somebody's, putting your knee on someone's neck. Right. They were like, no.
Right.
Yeah. They do hand-to-hand. They all do hand-to-hand combat, but they were like, you know, forcibly putting your neck on some, your knee on someone's neck and leaving it there for 9 minutes.
Right. Ridiculous.
They said that is not even in their rules of engagement or in their rule
book. While he's handcuffed. And there's three additional people holding him down.
Right.
Yeah.
Like my cousin's a state trooper in PA, man. And I mean, we don't really talk about all that stuff, man. Because when I see him, it's all love. Because we don't get to see each other and talk. So we talk about good, great things. But I know he doesn't. He doesn't stand for this or advocate for this. Period.
Mm-hmm. I think there also needs to be some type of sensitivity training, man. I may be looking at this from a closed-minded perspective, but I don't think you should be able to police in an area that you don't actually live in. Because how can you actually relate to the people if you don't live in the same area as them?
No, for sure.
So, like, I know, for example, in D.C., I know a lot of the cops that work in D.C., they may live in this place called Montgomery County. They may live in PZ County. They even may live in Virginia.
Right.
So it's like you're just coming there, do your due diligence, and then you're leaving. I know – I may be viewing it from a closed-minded aspect, and there are definitely some dangers with living where you work, but I think that's the best way to understand your population and to bridge that gap, man. You know, you got to actually live with them. You got to see them on a regular basis.
Yeah, the culture sensitivity, like, you keep hitting this hard word training, right?
Mm-hmm.
What we have, our police academies are, what, 4 to 5 months maybe?
I think nine, anywhere from 6 to 9 months. Yeah.
6 to 9? Okay. I think it should be longer, honestly, man. And, I mean, they need to get paid while they're going through the training, of course. I don't know if they actually are. But it needs to be additional training, like the sensitivity training, you know, dealing with stress, all those things. You live in Italy, right, Eric?
Yeah, I'm just here temporarily until next month. But I reside in Virginia. But I'm just on a little TDY mission.
Okay. But when I lived in Germany, and I lived there for 4 years, I think, like, their policing is excellent. And it's crazy because they don't use lethal force very often. It's very, very rare. And they have rules. Like, they tell us when we get in the country, like, as soon as you get there, like, hey, don't act out against the police because they have every right to beat your ass. like they can beat you down. Like, there's no suing them, none of that. And the crazy thing is they have all that power, but because they have the correct training, they don't abuse it, you know? I've seen, like, fights break out. The police handle themselves very well. Okay, I'm talking to you. You're yelling. I'm going to remain calm. Okay, you're in my personal space. I'm going to kind of put my arm up. I'm still remaining calm. Oh, you swung on me. Bink, bink. Dropped them real quick. Arrested. Like, just the right amount of force utilized to do what they needed to do. Like,
that. Right. There was no weapon drawn. You know what I'm saying? There was no warning shot fired. None of that. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. I think we utilize the lethal force way too much when we have all these other mitigation factors where you got the taser, you got the baton, you got all these other things. And saying, I was scared is not... that's not justifiable. Yes, you accidentally killed someone. Well, you're gonna accidentally go to jail, mm-hmm. sir. I'm sorry because
you couldn't take an ass whooping.
Exactly. You did something the result of someone dying. A life was lost.
For sure, man. And I'm glad we had this discussion, man. And I don't want to end it, but I kind of want to leave it open ended because I kind of want to. You know, we got people who listen to the podcast, man, and I want to thank everybody who takes the time to listen to the podcast. I mean, we appreciate you. I appreciate you greatly. You know what I'm saying? Please keep coming back because we're going to keep supplying you with great content. I just want to leave it open, you know what I mean? Because I want to hear what they have to say. You know what I mean? I want to hear a lot of their perspectives, you know, because it's not just a local discussion, man. Like you said, it's a nationwide thing. It needs to happen. And the beautiful thing about this conversation here is we're all from three different areas. You know? You know what I'm saying? So you know what I mean? Different areas, time zones, right.
I know, country, man.
You know what I mean? We're all seeing it from a different angle. And I'm actually, I do, there's a couple people who I want to interview that actually went to protests. So if you guys know anybody that, you mean, they're willing to come talk about it, because I just want their story to be heard, because I want what actually is going down to be what's told. You know what I'm saying? Because the media doesn't do us justice. This is our platform. I mean, this is where our voices can be heard. This is where we can deliver what needs to be heard to the people. And that's what I want to bring in this time. I mean, that where this injustice is happening right now. I don't know if y'all feel me on that, but
I feel you.
No, I think that would be really cool if we bring them in and like interview a right. person or two that's been out there protesting. I think
right.
That
would be... You know what I'm saying? Because like the Philly one went crazy, but I know there was a peaceful one in like Seattle. You know what I'm saying? There was one here in Waco. I'm mad I didn't know about. You know what I mean? I heard there was a crazy one in Austin. You know what I mean? There was one in Dallas. There was a peaceful one in Houston. Like,
yeah, the cops were marching with them in Houston.
Yeah.
That was
there's so many different perspectives. But on that note, y'all got any closing comments, man?
Man, I just appreciate y'all for this podcast, man. I've been talking to my wife last week or so, and the whole situation had me feeling uneasy, man. Like, I've been going to work, been unmotivated, morale has been real low, like, you know, in a sense, like, I just myself, so definitely talking about this and having this platform, I feel a lot better, man, honestly, because I'm talking about it with other Black men that definitely, what I feel, you guys are like-minded and like-hearted, so I appreciate it, gentlemen. I definitely feel so much better on the inside, man.
That warms my heart, dog. That warms my heart to hear that, man, because, you know what I'm saying, that's what we're here, man. We're here to lift each other up. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I definitely feel a lot better talking about this and, you know, seeing you guys' opinions on things going on. And we're going to get all this feedback from other people and seeing their opinions. And it's just a, you know, it's a way for us to all connect and try to make a change. That's what our ultimate goal is. Positively Spartans make change in the world, not just in our lives, not in our community, but the entire world. So I'm excited. Our next couple pieces are going to be, they're not all going to be racial. Just to put that out there, people. They're not all going to be, you know, crazy things happening in the world. We're going to have other topics to talk about. And I'm just excited for this, man. This is going to go far. And then, especially because I was in Germany when you last did it. So I would have had to wake up.
Like, it's 4 a.m. here, three man.
Morning, 3 in the morning. And I had
bro, it was
dedication.
It was funny because
dedication.
I was like, we're going to do this at 8 p.m. I set my alarm for 2 a.m. here. I woke up at 2 a.m. I'm like, all right, I'm ready, bro. He like, I was like, damn, I forgot he is on Central Time. He's out on Eastern Time.
Yeah, that's dedication, man. I can't believe that.
For sure, man. I appreciate y'all coming on, man. For sure. Because this was a beautiful discussion. Like Marcella said, man, they're not all going to be about like craziness and all types of other stuff. We're going to bring you, I mean, mentally stimulating content. You know what I'm saying? It's going to be a beautiful. We're going to make you laugh. We're going to make you think. You know what I'm saying? We're going to motivate you. You know what I'm saying? And you're just going to. We're going to make you feel better about yourself and about the day, man, because that's what we do here at the Positivity Spartans. With that being said, man, make sure you tell the ones you love them. Make sure you give people your flowers while they're here, because we never know what's going to happen tomorrow, and tomorrow's never promised. This is your boy, Hub, and please, please always remember positivity, prosperity, peace.